scripture reading for today is from both Genesis as well as Galatians. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4 from the ESV version. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonor you I will curse. And in you all the family of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 to 6 from the Message translation. Answer these questions. Does God, who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit working things in your life you could never do for yourself, does he do these things because of your sternness, moral striving, or because you trust him to do them in you? Don't these things happen among you just as they happened with Abraham? He believed God, and that act of faith turned into life that was right with God. That's the word of God.
Before I get into the message, I wanted to ask you if you're aware of all the good things that are going on at CCC. Last Friday night, we had a wonderful charity auction for Tumaki to build a new dormitory and room for them. The goal was about 1 million baht, and they raised about a third of that. And we were well represented by CCC people, and they were very generous, and we had wonderful helpers. But if you want to participate in building that building for Tumaki, I'm sure Michael will be happy to receive any additional funds that you might want to direct his way, and it will go to a good cause. I see Sherry here. Please raise your hand. You are leading the young women's high school group. And so if you have a daughter at high school age, we want to make sure that you come on Monday nights I believe it's your house, with the young women there, and enjoy growing in Christ together. What? Oh, Thursday nights. Okay, good. Okay, Norm, raise your hand. He is in charge of the young men high school group, and we started that group on Monday. We had a great bunch of young men there. I became a Christian when I was 16, and to see those young men there figuring out what it means to be a follower of Christ in high school. It was great, and Cannon was there, and I think maybe he was the dart champion or something like that during the competition we had. EW is on Wednesday, and we want to encourage all the women to go there. We have an exciting and good men's Bible study fellowship. So women, after 8 o'clock at night on Wednesdays, kick your husband out of the house. Tell him to go read the Word of God. Come back and be a better husband. Love his wife more like Christ loves the church. And be in fellowship with Mike. Why don't you go ahead and raise your hand, Mike? Yeah, very good. All the women are clapping. Yeah, all the women can clap. Yeah, good. That's great. And then Sunday school. Last week I had a chance to volunteer in Sunday school with the fifth graders and the fourth graders. I'll tell you, if you haven't had a chance to be with fourth and fifth graders in Sunday school, you've missed out on a great blessing. They love the Lord. They are being raised by godly parents, and they are a joy to work with in Sunday school. So there's lots of good things going on at CCC, so I hope that you'll take advantage of them, make yourself aware of them. Well, I hope you have enjoyed our lessons in Genesis, beginnings and foundations. This is the sixth week that we've been doing that, and now this is the final chapter. Actually, only chapter 12. There's a lot more chapters. As we learn that God called the world into existence, by his mere voice, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God promises. God binds himself to his creation. God is gracious. He punishes sin, but he also sustains his creation. God is in covenant with creation, making contracts, both as the promiser and the promisee, both making and keeping his covenants with his creation. God judges, but God also saves and blesses humanity in their creative, collective, and disobedient best. This is message 6 in this series. It's the call of God and the faith of Abraham found in Genesis chapter 11, 32 through 25, 11. Last week, we're in Babel. At the end of Babel, we see the world in total chaos, not being able to speak to each other, not being able to hear and understand each other. And this is where we find ourselves when we come to the story of Abram and Sarah. Now, you may be confused by a couple words. You'll hear Abram, and you'll hear Abraham. You'll hear Sarai, and you'll hear Sarah. What is the difference? Abram is a name before he believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteous. Same thing for Sarah. Sarai, she received the promise, they obeyed the promise, and she got a new name, Sarah. So when you hear me talk about Abram, it's the person before he believed God and was counted to him as righteousness. When you hear the name Sarai, the same thing for her. This is a time before she received the promise and believed it. After Babel, both God and humans were trying to find a way forward. How could they work together on this earth? When we think about the length of time from creation to Adam, from Adam to Abraham, we see it's a time of about 2,400 years. Believe it or not, that's about the same amount of time as from the birth of Christ to where we are today. Approximately 2,000 plus years. Some people say, wow, we thought that Abraham was within a few years of Eden. But no, there was about 2,400 to millennium until we come to the time of Abraham. During that 2,400 years, what did we find out? We found out that there are many failed opportunities for both God and man to work out a relationship, both where God was able to speak to his people and the people on the earth were able to respond to the word of God. As we can say, that there were many failed opportunities on the part of humanity to respond to the word of God, to be the image of God, how God made us. But in Abraham and Sarah, we find that this finally works out. Both God and man figured out on how to come into a relationship that will produce the kind of righteousness that God intended from the beginning. That Abraham and Sarah would represent humanity as people who are able to believe God, to receive his promises, to receive that righteousness, and to become the people of God that God had intended when he made humanity in the Garden of Eden. Righteousness by faith is the inseparable bond of heaven and earth, of God and humanity. We think of righteousness as something that came after the time of Jesus Christ. But actually, in the garden, we look at the life of Adam and Eve in the creation. They were righteous before God. What does righteous mean? They had a perfect relationship with God. They walked with God. They heard God's voice. They believed God. Until when? Until they decided not to believe him. Until they decided not to obey. But the righteousness that God had intended for us, both male and female, is a righteousness that God created in Adam and Eve when they were first created. How does this righteousness come about? First, God speaks. God's word is the unbreakable commitment of God to fulfill his word. When God says anything in the Bible, he says it
with the full intent of accomplishing his word as he has spoken it. In Numbers, it says that God is not a man that he should lie. In Psalms 138, it says that God magnifies his word above all else, even his name. After the word of God comes, then the ones who are called and chosen, they believe God's word. The word of God that we believe is the word, the promise that comes to us. It is the promise that comes to us. The Bible is God's inspired word and is profitable for teaching, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Faith in God and his word is what produces righteousness in our lives. When the word of God is heard, believed, obeyed as God's word for me, God's call to me, and God's demand upon my life, righteousness occurs in my life through the pronouncement of God, as it did in Abraham. Abraham believed, and God reckoned it to him as righteousness. Oops. Romans 10 through 11 says, it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Righteousness is my position that results from my faith, my wholehearted commitment, my unwavering trust in obedience to the one God who calls us, the one God who speaks, the one God who commands. At the time of Abram, we find Terah. Believe it or not, Terah was a maker of idols. Abram's father had a workshop, and there he made idols. And those idols were used for what purpose? For worshiping things that were made in creation. These things were put, like we see many times in Thailand, put as places to take the place of worshiping the one true God. At the time of Abram, there was no one left on earth who would believe in God, the God who created heaven and earth. For all had become idol worshipers. All had become disobedient. All had gone their way. Everyone had turned to their own way apart from God. It is possible that we see the wandering family of Terah, Abram, Sarai, and Lot wandering away from Babel because they were there present in that area when God judged Babel and created all these languages and sent everybody in a direction where no one knew where they were going. Abraham and Sarai, as we meet them in Genesis chapter 11, represent the totality of the human race in a state of disobedience, barren, no children, fruitless, rebellious, landless wanderers. This is the state of which we find the world when God decides to come and speak again to his creation. Out of the seemingly hopeless situation, God calls. God calls Abram. God makes a promise to Abram. Same thing in Genesis chapter 1 in creation. In Genesis chapter 2, when God prohibits them to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis chapter 3 in the fall. In Genesis chapter 6 with Noah, God speaks. Remember, the covenant of righteousness begins with God speaking. God's word comes to us. God's word came to Abram. God's word came to Noah. And the righteousness that came about in his life came about through hearing, believing, and obeying. The same thing happens in our lives. When we receive the righteousness of God in Christ, we hear, we believe, we obey. But the question is a very valid question. Would Abram and Sarah, would they accept this call? Would they believe, or would they be like the other 2,400 years before them when people received the word of God and they disobeyed? So this is where we are when we come to chapter 12. What happens with Abram and Sarai as the word of God comes to them in their lives? Let me see if I can get this to work. There we go. Voila. the promise from Genesis chapter 12. And the Lord said to Abram, go from your country to your people and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make your name great. Please listen how many times God says, I. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will bless those. I will make you a great name, and you'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. This is absolutely amazing. How old were Abram and Sarai when the word of God came to them? Anybody remember? 75. Not young people. God promised a child to a barren couple. Without a child, the promise of an heir to inherit the land would have been void. There's no way that they could have passed on the land that God was going to give to them unless they had a child or multiple children. This land would become the land of God's people. This child that God had promised them would become the foundation of the people of God who would live in that land. God promised a homeland to the landless clan of Abraham. The land promise would be the land that we now call Israel, which was the land of the people of God for thousands of years. God promised blessing and protection over his promise to them. And God promised that the blessing was for Abraham and all those who were scattered as a result of Babel. This is an amazing promise that God has made. We see Babel, we see people scattered, not being able to communicate with each other, not being able to hear and understand each other. And what does God say? Oh, those disobedient people, they're gone. They're completely out of my sight. I'm going to choose a family like Noah, and we're just going to save that one family. No, God said through Abram, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Who were those nations? Those were the people who are walking aimlessly as a result of the confusion that came about through Babel. And the beauty of the whole thing is that Abram would be a witness of the Most High God, the one and only true God, not the idols that his father had made. But the only one and only true God who spoke to him, he would be a witness to the nations regarding the one and only true God. Abraham was chosen to be a witness. Abraham believed God, and he obeyed. And so the obedience of Abraham, very simple. Sometimes we want to make obedience very difficult. But what does it say in Genesis 12:4? And Abram went as God had told him. Abram went as God had told him. He didn't have to get out MapQuest. He didn't have to go on TripAdvisor. He didn't have to go on Airbnb and find out what the best place is at the cheapest rate before he decided to go. He just said, I don't know where I'm going, Lord, but I think you got Airbnb, MapQuest, and TripAdvisor all together for me. So then we go on in chapter 15. Michael, you can do that for me, or? Well, I'll do it. Okay, there we are. Then we go on to chapter 15. And again, chapter 12, chapter 15, the word of the Lord came to Abram again. And we'll see why it came to him. It came to him in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram, God said. I am your shield and your great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord. This is an amazing thing. The first time in history that a human being had ever recognized that there's only one true God. This word Sovereign Lord means the one and only true God. What can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. In other words, God, I don't see what you've provided for me. Therefore, I'm going to tell you how the land you've given me is going to be inherited. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. What came next? The word of God comes back to Abraham again. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And then I love the way God works. He took Abraham outside. And he said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. If you go out on top of our house, we have a roof, and we easily look at the sky. But the kind of the pollution and everything like that in Bangkok makes it very hard to see stars. But if Abram was in Egypt, in the Sinai, and if you've ever been to the Sinai, you look up the sky, you can't see sky, you can only see stars. And that is where God took Abram while he woke up, took him outside and said, look up there. You can't even count the stars, but that is going to be my inheritance for you. These are going to be the number of people who are going to be your children. And the question is, if you go to Israel, if you look all over the world for the number of Jewish people in the world, there's only a few million, maybe under 10 million, but the stars are billions. So who is that inheritance? Us, me, we who believe, we who are the children of faith. Please point to your chest and say, this promise is me. I'm in Genesis. Did you know that? Maybe this is totally amazing to you. Say, this promise is me. This promise is for me. I am the seed of Abraham. I am the child of faith. Abraham believed again. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Righteousness by and through faith is imparted by God to those who believe, the first one being Abraham. How does faith impart righteousness to the one who believes? Faith creates in the heart a condition, a conviction that what I desire most, what I will commit myself to, no matter what, is that to which God has called me. Let me say that again. Faith creates in the heart the conviction that what I desire most, what I will commit myself to, no matter what it is that which God has called me to do and to be. This faith changes the very affections of my life, my mind, my heart, my emotions. This faith changes the direction of my life from myself to God. I am God. I am God's, and He is mine. I am God's, and He is mine. Is faith and righteousness in this story just a Bible story that we learn in Sunday school? Or is it something that actually works in life? Well, let me share in my own life how it's worked out in my life. At 16, I became a Christian in a small town in Central California. When I was a senior in high school, they allowed us to put a saying, a poem, or a Bible verse next to our picture in our student yearbook. The verse that I chose was from Isaiah chapter 6. It says, the Lord asked Isaiah, who will go for me and who will I send? And I said, here am I, send me. At 23, I moved to San Jose, California to finish up my university education. And I started going to a community church, much like our church here. This church taught me not only that God loved me and the country I was born in, but for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I took a year off from graduate school. I was in Egypt. That's why I know about the stars in Sinai. And I was going on a train from Cairo to Luxor in Egypt, listening to a tape series. God, by His Spirit, spoke very plainly to my spirit that I would follow Him and serve out my call to follow Him in Thailand. At 34, I moved to Thailand. And with 1 year, that dream seemed absolutely dead, and I would have to move back to the United States. What I did not know was what God had already prepared. My mother and father, who had just retired, were both willing and able to take and look after the company in the United States. So therefore, I was able to turn the company over to them. I was able to return to Thailand to the love of my life, who is now my wife. to my calling and to the company that God had provided for me. From age 35 to 63, the blessing of the Lord has been upon this life that he has called me to my family, to my wife, to my children, to my company. About 15 years ago, I started going to a church. And the calling that God had given to this church was teach my people faith. And as a member of that church, I learned in very concrete ways, week after week, what it meant to walk by faith, to believe in God and his word. And this began to give understanding to all the things that God was doing in my life and in the life of my family and the company. 10 years ago, and many of us might find ourselves in a situation, we have extra money. The money that I had extra came from the company and the blessing of the Lord over the company. So I said, this, it would be a good idea to maybe buy some property, to maybe buy some stocks, and maybe invest the money and make a lot more money, become a wealthy, wealthy person. And I prayed to the Lord and I said, Lord, is this what you want me to do? And the Lord said, the company that has generated this income for you, that's a gift from me. The money you earn, invest it back into the company, in the church you attend, and in the lives of others, and you will never suffer lack. And so it has been, as the Lord said. The righteousness that comes through faith puts us in a covenant relationship with God. God both makes the covenant, but he also fulfills it in our lives. Faith believes that the promises of God are ours now. There's no way that Abram would have ever left his community, the place where he was, unless he believed that both the land that God had promised, the child that God had promised, was his already. Time, circumstances, even disobedience does not negate God's call. God's promise, God's plans, God's purposes are always there to be done, fulfilled, completed by God through his word. The righteousness that comes by faith and through faith is ultimately and finally found in God, who was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world to himself. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, you can read the stories of the people of faith in the Bible. And at the end, even though Abraham received the promise, even though he received an heir, Isaac, even though he went on to acquire great wealth, all the blessings of God, at the end of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, and they died not having received what God had promised. How can that be? Would we love all to have God's blessing in our lives in the way that he did for Abraham? And yet, the Bible says they did not receive what God had promised them. What did God promise them? He promised them an heir, a child, a son of God who would come and save mankind, Jesus Christ. This is the promise that God had made when he first called Abraham and Sarah to believe in him, to walk with him, to be in covenant with him. So we too are heirs of the promise. Not like Abraham, but according to Galatians chapter 3, are the promises to us are greater than the promises made to Abram and Abraham, Sarai and Sarah, because we live on the other side of Jesus Christ. All things for life and godliness have been given to us in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1 says, all the promises of God find their yes and amen in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8 it says, it is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who can separate us from the love of God? Some things in life, in the Christian life, are a mystery. Some things take a while to understand. Not so with this biblical truth. Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So too we believe, and righteousness is imparted to us as well. Well, as we come to the last of this series in Genesis, I think we should just take a couple minutes maybe about 3 minutes to reflect upon where we've come. We've seen creation. It was good. We've seen the fall. We've seen both the blessing and the disobedience of humanity. We've seen God's actions over and over again to save, to set free, to put in place his purposes and plans. And I believe, as I was praying through this, we should take a few minutes to reflect on what God has done in our lives, how God has called us, how God has worked in our lives, how God has established us, how God has blessed, and where we need to go from here, not only as individuals, but also as a church. Because a church that is founded on people who are obedient, who hear, who believe, who obey, is a church where the gates of hell will not withstand it. So let's just take a moment. You can close your eyes. You can quiet your hearts. And I just have a couple questions to think about. When did God call me? You can think about these as you think about your life, where you've been, where you're going. Was my response one of faith and belief? Where is my heart focused now? Is my mind, my will, my emotions focused on what God wants for me? Do I believe that God wants the best for me? Did I miss God? When he called, did I doubt? Did I not listen? Did I not focus on circumstances? Did I disobey? The Bible says that the call and the will of God are unchangeable. Is it time to tell the Lord, "Here I am, send me"? As we come to the end, there's a couple verses that kind of help us to focus in on what these messages have really been about. It says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are we listening to what God wants to say to us? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When our hearts are right, God will call us. He will speak to us. He will ask us, and he will command us according to his will. And as Kungrit read, can we answer this question in our hearts? Does God, who lavishly provides you with his own presence, his Holy Spirit working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves, does he do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust him to do them in you? Don't these things happen among you just as they happened with Abraham? He believed God, and that act of faith turned into a life that was right with God. This is what the call of God establishes in our life, that we might be in a right relationship with God. If you're here and maybe you have never accepted God's call in your life to believe in Jesus Christ, this is a good day to believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What greater call is that than to become a child of God? To not perish, to not fear the future, to not doubt where you'll spend eternity. If you today have come to church and you feel the Spirit of God calling upon your heart, your life, to trust in him, please come and speak to me after the service or any of the deacons, some of the people you've seen up here speaking. I'd be happy to talk to you about what it means to be a follower of Christ. If there is a place in your life where, or a point in your life where God has said to you, follow me, believe in me, trust me, and we said, no, I think I'm going to figure it out on my own. God doesn't want you to do that. And we've seen through 2,400 years from the time of Adam to Abraham what trying to figure it out on ourselves turns out like, looks like. Come into the faith of Abraham, who believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. As you think about rebuilding CCC, we want to rebuild it as a people of faith, people who hear God's voice. Whether you're a church council member, a deacon, an elder, people teaching in the Sunday school, leading a small group, working as a volunteer, we believe God is able to speak to the people of this church and to lead us in the way he wants us to go. So please agree together with God in his word that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, that he has brought into his church gifted people to form a functional, working, strong, victorious body of Christ. Once God speaks to you about participating in the church, say yes. Don't try and figure it out. Don't open up your phone and try and figure out how many hours you have. Just say, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to put you first. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And then believe that you will add all these things. That's a testimony of my life. Father, son, dad, business owner, church member, member of Thai society. Not suffering lack, suffering abundant, I mean experiencing an abundance through committing myself first. And I know my brothers and sisters here can give the same kind of testimony. So let's join together. Let's be together. Let's be the body of Christ. Let's be people of faith. Let's listen to the Lord. Let's receive his leading, receive his call, and proceed together. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for the series in Genesis. We thank you that we have learned both what works and what doesn't work. We have seen beginnings and foundations. And so today we conclude these messages with the life of Abram. Abraham, we'll call him Abraham, and from Sarai to Sarah, people who responded to you. Lord, we want to be those same people. We want to commit ourselves to listen to your voice, to receive your call, to hear, to obey, to commit, because we are in covenant with a great and awesome God, the one who speaks to us, the one who commands us, the one who demands of our lives. But it's all for our good. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.